Hello, are you hearing me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Good, and it's being recorded, so wonderful. Even if things aren't quite up on the computer, we can actually record this. So welcome. Hopefully there's no other tech stuff, but this is the second call in May for the Matrix Transformation Club, and this is, of course, Katie. And today we're going to just go further into caring for ourselves, which we dealt with last time, plus any issues that you have for yourself. And I'm not going to do a long introduction about this. Mostly, I was, because I wanted to see how relevant or what issues are there for you. But what I know is that in caring for ourselves, there's a lot of focusing on what diet is right, what food is right. And there's so much different advice going on that it's sometimes, you know, it's just like you can get really feeling really guilty before you eat anything because there's bound to be one doctor or one person who says that's not good for you, however many other people say it is. And so there can be a lot of anxiety around meal eating and really taking care of ourselves. So I thought maybe we could do a little clearing around that, but I also would love to hear perhaps other issues around self-care that people have, or if there's something completely different, please tell me. So I'm just going to open it up and see what's on our plate for today, metaphorically speaking.
Well, Katie, it's Shelley.
Yes. Great, Shelley. Hi.
Yeah, this is a perfect one for me right now. I was struggling with all these things and feeling very out of shape and unhealthy, and I was led to really following my intuition and following up with a fellow I heard talk one night, and he does all kinds of different things. He's been in the industry for about 25 years, and I've heard of him around town and just never gone to him professionally, and I thought, I need help. I can't do this by myself, so I made an appointment, and he's got me on all kinds of really great things, lots of extra minerals and things that I wasn't taking. I'm sort of at that age where I should be worried about how much I'm calcium and, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't really do doctors, so I was kind of fumbling in the dark. And he's put me on a program. I've been on it for about 3 weeks to maybe a month, and feeling awesome, just awesome. And
oh, wonderful.
Yeah, he believes in the body typing, the blood type, so I'm O, and I was not getting a lot of protein, and O's are supposed to be having a lot of protein, so he's got me on some good vegetable protein shakes and that kind of thing, and just some extra minerals. And I saw him yesterday, and he started talking to me kind of spiritually then, and how that all tied in, and had a very interesting situation arise last week. I was at work playing receptionist, and I swirled around really quickly, and my eyes did the same thing. They sort of swirled and followed me, but it was like my left eye kept going, and it locked there.
Oh, my God.
It was the weirdest sensation I've ever had. And when I was telling him this information, he said, well, liver and eyes are connected. And he asked me a question, what are you stressed about? What's so angry? Why are you so angry? These are all liver traits. So I came home and I had a real good look at that and the resentment and whatnot. And I'd had an issue play out the week, like 2 days before that eye event happened, where I wasn't setting boundaries for myself. And I was shopping with a girlfriend. I took her shopping. She's lost her driver's license due to that stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And so spent, a full day with her. And then the second day I had to spend with her. And I wasn't being honored in it. I wasn't being asked if I had time for this. And the more important piece that I got from it was I didn't ask. I didn't tell her how I was feeling. I martyred and just went along with it because I know she doesn't get out very much and yada yada. But it was huge in my awareness how my boundary setting needs to happen and how I need to say no once in a while because I can't do malls for 2 days in a row. I go
insane. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So you would like to work on boundaries in terms of self-care?
Yes, I think.
Great. Wonderful. That would be, Anybody, anything else there, or we'll get some others?
That's good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Katie, this is Loretta.
Yes. Great, Loretta.
I just want to affirm the need for me, too, in terms of boundaries. I keep setting them, and then I'm like, oh, I did set that, and now I'm doing this other thing that I said I wouldn't do, you know. So I'd like to do that. One of the things that I'm realizing, and it's been helpful, but I still need more work with it, is it's a different kind of a diet. It's a diet of what I do, limiting my doing. And I've been really trying in the last month or so to set a priority for the day that's reasonable in terms of what I have to accomplish. And like for today, example, today I really have given myself the day for get it done. And
great.
I'm focused just on one thing. But that's always an issue for me that I say today the only thing that's important for me to do is, and then I name it, and then the day goes on and I'm going, oh, my God, how did everything else get on my list, you know? So there just seems to be, and I think it's a boundary thing, you know, once I set something in motion for the day. And I just wanted to share a brief story because we talk a lot about food and, you know, that kind of what is good to eat, what's not good to eat. And every time I hear that, I think of my dad. Dad died 30 years ago, so this issue is not new, but I remember him saying one time in utter frustration, if someone would only tell me the four things I can eat, I'll spend the rest of my life just eating them. Because he'd go to one doctor and the doctor would say, because of this, don't eat that, you know. And he was totally conflicted, you know, and he spent his latter years being very aware that salt intake was bad for him because of his health. And so he would not eat anything that was salty, except every morning he had a bowl of cornflakes. And one day he was reading the ingredients. There was more salt in the cornflakes than in potato chips. He said, it's not fair. He said, I'm trying not to do this, and they're sneaking it in, you know. So I say that because this issue feels new to me in this society, but that's 30 years ago, and Dad was trying to figure out, you know, what four things can I eat and stay healthy rather than all kinds of, you know, different ways to do this, ways to do that. So anyway, that's my story for the day.
That's really interesting because it's probably, you know, if he was feeling that way, it's probably transmitted itself to you in some ways, other than being in the, you know, in the society as a whole.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, I mean, I've always listened to the preachings around salt, but I love salt, so I've just sort of thought, I don't know. Until I get really, you know, if it shows up in my health, I'll do something about it. But like really drastic. But I did find out, and it's interesting because I've had allergies that people who are allergic need more salt, and also, from my research now, it's actually the processed salt which is the problem. In fact, sea salt and all that has amazing minerals, and so it's very helpful for you.
Right, right. That's a whole different kind of salt,
Yeah, so there's so many things is that we're told something is wrong, but then maybe it's the more recent version. And because our bodies are very different. And I think one of the big problems is one is that we're given such, there's so much addictive foods there that it's hard to know what our bodies actually need sometimes. And yet at the same time, it's really important to develop our intuition more about what we do need because our body does know on some levels, does know what we need, if it gets out of the addictive thing, and the addictive thing is because it's responding to a lack there that's needed too. So anyway, very very interesting, and I can anybody else want to say something about this issue?
Katie,
and then we'll do
here.
Boundaries and food.
Yeah, Katie, this is Denise.
Yes.
So,
hi, Denise.
So I will also affirm the need for boundaries.
Yes.
And I think I'm better at it than I have been, but I still say yes a lot when I need to be sane. I'll think about it and then.
Yes.
But I will say a couple things about my self-care. I really got into self-care. Actually, it was in my 30s. I went to the doctor because I was just dragging, you know, and I'm in my 50s now, and I was just dragging. I thought something was really wrong with me. And I discovered I was working for a startup company, and I discovered the doctor basically asked me what I was eating, and I said, well, you know, I'm heading over to the fast food thing at lunch. That's all we have time for. And he goes, well, there you go. So I really started at that time, started paying attention to my diet, and I noticed that I really began to pay attention to how I felt when I ate certain things. And that's gone on off and on for some time. But more recently, I live on an organic farm, so that really helps. And we have local food here, and we're eating lots of vegetables. And so, generally I eat pretty well, with the exception of a couple of addictions that just I can't seem to not get involved in. One is potato chips, and the other is French fries. I just can't say no to those things, so I really like to let those go. But I will say that physically that way, I feel better than I did in my 30s. I feel a lot more energy, et cetera. And I notice dramatically if I, end up slipping into one of those potato chip addictions, I notice the next day my body tells me. So, but more recently, and this is something I'd like to continue and really strengthen myself in, after the Phoenix Project, I had gotten into the rhythmic structure of meditation and exercise in addition to eating well. And I noticed that those two things plus eating the right foods has given me a massive amount of good energy to work on things I love to work on. And it just has made me feel really good. And I want to keep going with that rhythmic structure. And from time to time, I'm tempted to not. So I want to just strengthen that new habit in myself.
I think that the tempting to kind of get out of the meditation or walking or other things that are good for us by the by what's going on in our life and all the other priorities, I certainly find that's the thing that gets me out really quickly. And so it'd be fun to do, maybe it'd help you too, is just something on the temptation to give up our good habits.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that kind of keeps me hanging in there with the good habit is that I have been paying attention to how good I feel when I stay in that rhythm. And just noticing from day to day, if I miss it, if I miss an exercise day, I notice the difference the next day. It's a pretty dramatic difference. So,
and that's a good tip for everybody, I guess, is just mindfulness there. Because what you're doing is you're reinforcing it by really noticing the difference and taking note. Because I think if we kind of don't fully acknowledge the difference, then it's easier to slip. So, and that's one of the reasons I think, people say journaling is good, is it's just seeing what difference it makes. And then with some things, it takes a little while to go in. So we'll do that. And anything else from people? I'm hearing a little bit of echo, but.
It's Katrina. I just concur with everybody's stuff. It's funny. It's just springtime, and I've been, I'm very mindful of diet and exercise, but even with all my years of practicing, I still find that, there's different changes in my body, and it has different needs at different times. And right now, it just wants to clean out, you know, lots of juicing and lots of sweating. So, but I also, and, you know, with anything, I feel I've been up-leveling my exercise and everything, and at the same time, there's always room for more.
Yeah.
You know, there's always room for up-leveling in lots of areas. So, yeah, I'm just, I can resonate with everything everybody said.
Great. And do you feel any guilt around diet ever?
Me?
Yeah. Or you feel pretty good about it now because you're being so consistent.
I've gotten to the point where I just know what works for me and what doesn't work. And and I wouldn't say I feel, where I might feel guilty is I'm not attracted to sugar, so I don't like dessert. It's not my thing. And but I do like sugar in the form of wine, so at night I always have a glass of wine. And sometimes too. And yeah, I do, I sometimes judge myself for that. And then I go, you know, it's really my form of pleasure right now. It's maybe not the ideal form, but it's, that's where I'm at. And then I go, I'm accepting it until, because I know myself. I mean, I never go too far one way or the other. So it's just when I, because to me, that's more symptomatic of something else missing. And so I'm trying to tune into what else I'm really thinking in that, which is, you know, because on some level I'm seeking an escape. And an escape from what? And I realize that I'm too much in my head most of the time, and it's just sort of a way to kind of drown out, you know, the repetitive thought patterns that are usually not in support of me.
Right.
So I do. I will not lie and say I do feel guilt, but I don't let that guilt, you know, take over.
Right.
But it's definitely there from time to time
because
I have this, you know, this comparison that I have to be, you know, absolutely flawless in my habits.
You have to be flawless
in my habits or I won't get anywhere.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
My habits or I won't get anywhere. And, I mean, I don't know if it's for anybody on the call, but I kind of sometimes go into this thing that I have to do everything. And it takes so much time. And then I just kind of let it go and don't do much at all. And so just because of that sort of either or thing. And what I'm looking at right now in terms of my life is what are the key aspects, the things that actually give me the most for the least type of thing, and in terms of self habits, like in terms of exercise or whatever. I don't have to do 2 hours, you know, or whatever. If I feel like it, I can. But, you know, walking every day for 20 minutes, if I can do that minimum, is great. And doing some stretching, and you know, rather than setting up these huge goals, which I never reach. So, let's go into some of these. So we've got exercise and diet and boundaries. So we'll start. I'm going to start with the first thing that I said I would actually do, although I'm not sure how much it's other people's issues as much as mine, but around the issue of what to eat, and all the conflicting stuff. So we'll start with that, and then we'll go on all the other little issues or big issues that people have. Okay, and maybe they'll all merge together, as they sometimes do. And then we'll go into we'll start with the health things and the issues there, and then we'll go into the boundaries stuff, which is certainly really important. Okay, even though every time I read a book about health, that has different advice, and I have to change what I think is good. I deeply love and accept myself, even though every single doctor has some different advice about what I should do about my diet, and it gets me so confused I want to give up on it all. I deeply love and accept myself, even though it's hard to hear my internal voice with so many voices of others saying what is good and bad. I deeply love and accept myself. I'm tired of being stressed about my about what I take in. I would like to just enjoy food. I'd like to enjoy food without having to think every time that, oh, that's bad, or that's bad, or that's bad, or somebody said I should do more of this, or more of this, or more of this, or more of this, and I get so stressed out that even the good food that I'm taking isn't good. Even the good food I am taking isn't good. Why don't I just relax? Why don't I just relax into really enjoying the food in front of me? Enjoying it, even if it's so-called bad. I mean, if I'm going to eat some forbidden food, like potato chips, like candy, instead of gulping it down guiltily or numbing myself, why don't I just enjoy it? Why don't I send love to the potato chips? Why don't I send love to the sweet stuff? Why don't I send love to the wine and change it? I mean, after all, and I'm not going to abuse this, but after all, sending love, sending energy to whatever it is makes a difference. It makes a difference to how I feel and my stress levels. And it makes a difference to what I'm eating. Because after all, most food is, I don't know, 90%, 80% water. And guess what water does when it has love? Changes. Changes. Even dirty, horrible water changes. So why don't I just love what I'm eating, whatever it is. And as I know and become more in contact with what is really good for me and what I feel good about, then just eat it more. And that's going to be kind of natural, although I may have to put some boundaries because there's certain things, if they come in the house, I just have to eat them. And so maybe I just say, no, they don't go in the house. No, it doesn't come in the house. I say no to myself. That's a boundary. There's some boundaries. There's some things that I know don't help me, and maybe I say no to self-indulgence, the thing that I'm going to treat myself with, things that don't really feed me, that don't really nourish me. That old thing of being treating myself with things that aren't so great. Maybe I'll let that go, maybe I'll let that go, maybe I'll let that go. But maybe sometimes I'll just do it anyway. I mean, after all, chocolate brownies are pretty delicious, so why not really enjoy them? Why not really enjoy them, knowing that some of its ingredients are just marvelous? Such marvelous, 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 marvelous. Okay. There was somebody on a teleconference recently who was speaking about, actually it was on a whole food summit or something like that, who was speaking about food, and I found him really refreshing because he said what was probably one of the most important things was you just sitting down at a meal and really enjoying what you had and really getting away from the stress. And he suggested just conscious breathing before you start eating. And that you take maybe 10 breaths, 10 or 20 breaths, I can't remember now, but just slow, deep breaths so that you actually are there for the food and are relaxed and you've turned off that, you know, all the systems that are in overdrive. And just really eating slowly and consciously, and almost that being more important sometimes than what you're eating. So there we go. So I'm going to, does anybody have anything to say, or I'll just go into some of the other stuff. But if it triggered anything, please tell me. Okay. So I'm going to look at... Oh, yes, I'm going to look at, I think I'm going to do Katrina's thing, flawless in all my habits, or I won't get anywhere. Okay. Even though I feel like I have to be flawless in all my habits, or I won't get anywhere, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I have to be flawless in all my habits, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I have to be flawless in all my habits to get anywhere, I deeply love and accept myself. My self-care has to be flawless. Like makeup I put on, it has to be flawless, flawless, without flaws. I have to do it because that's the industry I'm in. That's my niche. That's what I'm supposed to be telling the world. So if I don't do what I tell the world, then it's not accepted. I have to be perfect, 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 or I can't show my face. I can't show my face unless I'm perfect and I'm flawlessly concealing everything, flawlessly concealing everything and concealing any problems I might have by perfectly doing my self-care. Because if I perfectly do my self-care, then maybe it might mean that I'm okay, that I'm okay, that I'm okay, that I'm okay. But let's face it, nothing's flawless. Nothing is flawless. And in fact, the flaws are what's interesting. So why don't I forget about being flawless, enjoy the wine, enjoy the extra glass as long as it's not every day. And that's okay. It's okay. And it's okay sometimes that I actually do drown out my emotions. It's okay. It's okay that there's a little addiction there. I don't have to be flawless. Nobody's flawless. This is a fucking difficult society to be in. And so you have to let it go sometimes. You can't always, always do the right thing. You can't always do self-care up your okay. What am I saying? I'm saying self-care up my ass, up my ass. I'm getting too uptight, 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 uptight about self-care. So maybe I could self-care by just letting it go a little bit, letting it go, letting it flow, letting it flow, letting it flow, letting it go, letting it flow, letting it flow, letting it flow. Oh, I'm going to let it flow. And actually, if you look at my self-care, it's pretty damn good. It's a lot better than anybody else I know almost. It's pretty damn good, but it'd be even better if I would just let go of all the judgment, if I would let go of the perfection, if I would let go of the perfection. Let's forget perfection. Let's forget perfection. Let's go for flaws. Let's go for flaws. Flaw, flaw, flaw. Let me flaunt my flaws. Let me flaunt my flaws. Then people will at least think I'm more human. Then people will think I'm more human. For example, if I'm going to be talking about all this stuff, won't it just help a little bit that I'm not perfect, that I'm not perfectly perfect? Because if I'm perfect, then nobody will be able to identify with what I'm saying, and it'll just seem really, 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 really unrealistic. So why don't I just take off the mask, take off the perfect concealment of perfect self-care and just let it go, let my hair down, let myself out of this prison, let myself out of this prison of perfection, perfection, okay, perfection, you're going, you're going, you're going, you're going, you're going, you're gone. Okay, I'm going to take a breath and there's actually there's a lot of noise going on outside because when the gas comes, you know, they bring gas canisters. Anyway, they always have a song and a big sound as the buses go, the trucks go by. Something actually quite interesting about Mexico is music is everywhere, even on the gas trucks. So, anything come up with that or response, Katrina?
No, it was great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Katie?
Yes?
That was powerful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that Denise?
Yeah.
Great.
I loved it.
So it resonated for others as well.
Oh, yeah.
And what
totally made me smile.
Great. Well, so I'll keep going unless somebody has, or if Katrina or Denise has more specific stuff, or if somebody else is there, just go ahead. I'm taking a sip of my coffee.
I'll add one specific, and maybe Katrina has more, but my specific is that, you know, it's very difficult for me to show my flaws publicly. And I feel that may make it difficult for people to relate to me because I just, you know, I mean, my younger sisters and people in my life have always said, well, I can't be like you. Mm-hmm. And even my kids were saying that, I can't be like you. And I'm thinking, well, what is it about myself that makes it hard for me to show my vulnerabilities and flaws? But I do think that is key to being able to, you know, connect with people. I think it makes us more human. And so when you did that, it just kind of hit home for me.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. That's beautiful. Okay, anything else? Katrina, anything else?
Just on the note that Denise just said is it's I think that there is a connection that I have between the flaws and being wrong.
Yeah.
So, and I don't exactly know what that connection is, but something related. They're related. Feeling wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Good noticing. And I'm going to actually, I think that would be a good one, too, to clear. Because, I'm sure that's there for other people, too. So, and then we'll... Okay, so we'll do one more round on this, I think, and then we'll go into some of the boundary stuff. Let me see. Even though I feel like if I have flaws or if I show flaws, that I'll be wrong. I deeply love and accept myself, even though I'm afraid of being wrong by showing my flaws and by having flaws. I deeply love and accept myself, even though I'm afraid that having flaws and showing flaws will show people that I'm not worth anything. I deeply love and accept myself. I can't show the flaws. I can't show the flaws. I can't let people know that I have flaws and I'm not perfect. Because if they know that I'm not perfect, they'll know that something is really, really wrong with me. Because I should have got it together. I should have it all together. I got so much and yet I don't have it all together. I don't have it all together. In fact, I feel wrong. I felt wrong all my life. I felt wrong in the wrong place with the wrong parents. With the wrong. I'm just all wrong for you, Mom. I'm just all wrong. I'm just all wrong. And I'm tired of being wrong, and I'm tired of being wrong. And if I show my flaws, and if I do have flaws, it means I'm all wrong. And when you're all wrong, you're an outcast. When you're an all wrong, you're an outcast. So I got to show that I'm all right. All right. Not just all right, but all right. Or else I'm going to be all wrong. But what if I could just let go of being wrong? What if I could just let go of being wrong? And it's okay to be wrong. I mean, really, being wrong with my mom was actually a good sign. It was a really good sign being wrong with her. Just an amazingly good sign that I was wrong with her. Thank God I was wrong with her. Because what would I have turned out of if I had been right with her? If I had been right with her, because right with her was just loony, was just out of the, I don't know, crazy. And I don't want to be crazy. So let me let go of wrong and right and wrong and right and wrong and right and right my wrongs and right my wrongs and right my wrongs. I got to write about my wrongs. I got to write. I got to write. I got to write. I got to write. I got to write to write. I've got to write to write. I've got to write to write. Okay. So there you go, Katrina. I don't know if that helped at all, but we'll anything else to go, or I'm going to go on to other stuff.
No, I got an idea for a title.
Oh, well, that's good. I was thinking this sounds like a prescription for doing some writing.
Yes, it did.
Which may be for more than one of us.
Yeah, I thought that it would be a great title, is Writing Wrong. Writing, R-W-R-I-T-I-N-G, Writing Wrong.
Yeah, woo. Writing Wrong. Right, I love it. So, okay, we've gone. Was anybody saying anything, or is that just the little echo that seems to be there today? Okay, so what I'm going to do is go into what Shelley raised about setting boundaries, and also Loretta and Denise, and probably Katrina too. I'm just but not so much. Yeah. So let me just look at a couple of notes I got around that. Yeah, and just about actually even being able to say, as Denise says, I'll think about it, rather than saying yes right away. And since I read that book on essentialism where they talk about thinking of ways to say no politely or just to put off the decision so that you know whether the yes is coming from the right place, I've been noticing how I actually say yes before I've even had a chance to think about it. It just comes out of my mouth very quickly, and actually even just noticing how quickly it comes, and then it's kind of hard once you've said yes to say no. And I've noticed that in one situation in my life, which came after reading the book on essentialism, and it was just like somebody asked me and I just felt like I couldn't say no, and I'm kind of bound with that and still trying to think of ways to get out of it politely. Yeah, so let's go into boundaries about saying no. Even though I feel like it's so hard to say no, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I hate to say no, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I'm always saying no when I should be, I'm always saying yes when I should be saying no, I deeply love and accept myself. Well, what's so hard about it? I mean, what's so hard about saying no? I mean, it's just a two-letter word, N-O, N-O, N-O. It's not a four-letter word. It's just a two-letter word, a very simple word called N-O, no, no, no. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm sorry. I do feel extremely sorry for your situation. I do feel that, yes, life hasn't been so fair to you, but then is it fair to any of us? And can I take the responsibility for the universe not being so fair? Can I take it on my shoulders? No, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. And no, I'm not going to take responsibility for you feeling happy. Happy, 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 happy. I'm supposed to make everybody else happy. But what the F about myself? What about myself? What about me being H-A-P-P-Y? Happy, 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 happy. Okay, so what is it about saying no that's so hard? Not much, not much. All I have to do is say no. And it's like a practice. It's not, it's, you know, practice gets perfect. Practice gets perfect, excuse me, using that word perfect, but practice makes perfect. So, okay, I'm never maybe going to be perfect with this, but let's just practice it. Let's see how much I can practice saying no in the day. No to my endless to-do list. No to other people who want to make my endless to-do list even more endless. no to the things that don't give me joy, no to the things I don't really want to do, no to saying yes too quickly before I've even figured it out. No, no, no. And letting me know what my no's are, because I have to know what my no's are, and it's hard to know it if I'm just spurting out my yeses really quickly, and so I'm so bloody busy doing all these things for other people that it gets hard to know what I really love, what I really want, 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 what I really want, what I really love. Okay, I'm getting bored with this thing about what I really want and what I really love. I'm getting bored with saying it. I mean, why don't I just do it? Why don't I just do it? I mean, I keep saying I want to do it, but do I do it? No. Do I do it? No. But maybe I just have to use that no everywhere. How can I use no everywhere in my life? Not necessarily saying it, but just using it, using it, using it, using it, using it, using no, seeing no as a beautiful word, seeing the beauty of no, seeing the beauty of no, knowing the beauty of no. I never actually thought that no was a beautiful word. I never thought that, but I do now. It is a beautiful word, and I'm going to put up a big no on a big piece of paper and put hearts around it and love around it and all kinds of beautiful flowers around it. That, because that's what no is all about. That's what no is all about. No is doing what I love. No is flowers and nature and all those things I love. No is that. I know that. I know that my no has to go to the things that don't allow me to enjoy that. I know that. I know that. I know that. I know that the no's have to go to things that get me away from my contact with the earth, my beautiful relationship with the earth, with nature, that take me away from that. I have to say no to that. I have to say no to the constant demands, the constant emails, the constant everything. I need to say no to the constant to-do list and just do what feels good and what's most important to get me where I want, I want, I want. And I do know where I want to go. I do know where I want to go. I do know where I want to go, even though I keep saying I don't sometimes. I keep saying I don't know what I really want to do, but that's just an escape. I do know what I want to do. I do know what I want to do. I do, I do, I do, I do, I do. Oh, I'm going fast here. No, don't usually talk very fast, as you guys know, but sometimes in these things I do. Taking a break. Anybody want to say anything that comes through this or and came up from this?
It's Shelley. Yes, yes. So many great things came out of that. Thank you so much. The friend who helped me set boundaries or made me realize I wasn't setting boundaries, she and I went to, took our little truck over to our dump, and they were giving away compost yesterday. So very metaphorically, they loaded our truck. We came home. I put some at our place and took some to hers, and we shoveled shit for an hour. And what it showed me, she was intent on getting two truckfuls, but she can't drive, so she has to depend on everybody else. I couldn't have done two truckloads. I was exhausted. And what was beautiful in it was that I said, okay, just let this go. We'll empty the truck and see how we feel if we can manage another one. Well, we were both exhausted. Her heart was just racing. And I said to her, is it okay if we're not going to do a second one? I really couldn't do it physically. And she said, you know what? Neither can I. And she had to let it go. And what I realized when you were tapping just now is that when we don't say no, because that's how we really feel and our boundary, we rob the other person of that opportunity. She had a huge learn, and she always wants more, and she always wants, you know, the best stuff. And by us deciding that no, she had to let that go. And she said it took her into huge learning about why she always needs to have the best and always, you know. So by me saying, no, Carol, I can't do this. I'm physically exhausted, and I can't go back and get another load. It gave her an opportunity to grow and move beyond. So it wasn't just my learn. And I realized that, you know, pretty profoundly, that it's a gift to ourselves to be able to say no, but it's a huge gift to the person we said no to.
Mm.
If we're doing it through love, you know, and
not yeah.
stamping our foot and saying, no way, you know, kindly and with love, it's a growing opportunity for both of us. It was brilliant. She phoned me back last night to thank me for not doing it because she learned.
Oh.
So that's kind of neat.
Beautiful.
And the other thing is that when I can say no from my heart and say it with love, it's such a freeing feeling. It just gives me this sense of power and this sense of worthiness to myself that I hadn't had before.
Mm.
Mary, it's left me quite emotional. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. And it is a gift to not only to ourselves, but to the other person, even if they don't appreciate it, as your friend luckily did. And I mean, I know, well, I have a mother who will never say her real opinion often. And you kind of hear it from somebody else in the family. Say she really didn't want to do that or she didn't like that. And it's really, I don't know, I find with people who can't say no or can't say what they really want, it's a strain because I know that intuitively. And I'm trying to figure out what is true and what is not. And how can you please somebody? Well, not just how can you please somebody, but how can you be with somebody when they don't really say their limits, and you don't know when they do say they'll do something, if they're doing it with resentment or they really want to do it. And you know, for me, that's really important. I don't want to impose on somebody, and I think a lot of people would feel the same. So great point. Anything else from other people? And then I think we'll do the healing codes.
Katie?
Yes?
Katie, it's Loretta.
Hi, Loretta.
All of that struck me, and I really appreciate Shelley saying more about it. But what really struck me was the question, will this bring me joy?
Mm.
And if somebody asks me to do something, if internally I even take a breath and ask myself, will this bring me joy, if my internal answer to that question is no, then my answer to the question that, you know, I was asked to do something needs to be no too.
Mm.
And if I could make that a practice, you know, to just wait a minute and say, will doing this bring me joy? No, it won't. Well, then I need to say no to the person. I mean, in simple things. I know other things you have to take, you know, give me a little bit of time to think about it. But yeah, but I really like that. Will doing this bring me joy? And I'm getting more and more aware when it does and doesn't. I mean, that's getting clear to me. So anyway, thank you for that. That particular piece is very helpful for me today.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. Wonderful. Anybody else? Anything? Yes?
Katie, Denise here. When Loretta said that, it made me think of a question that I haven't been asking myself but could be. And it's not just, will this bring me joy, but it's, will this serve my higher purpose? Because sometimes I will say yes to something that won't necessarily bring me joy, but it will serve my higher purpose. So I want to ask both those questions.
Good combination. Yeah, I like that. I was sort of thinking, well, how many things? Sometimes there are things that you want to do that aren't quite so joyful, but there's something higher. Yeah, so that's a great additional question. And I do love the thing with Laura, like to ask first, will that bring me joy, just to be clear. And then if it doesn't, is it in keeping with my higher purpose? Or that's a perfect second question. So anything else there from anybody? Katrina, anything else you want to add before we kind of go into the final clearing?
I definitely still find myself doing things that don't necessarily bring me a lot of joy. I would like to be spending much more of my time doing things that do bring me joy instead of doing things out of feeling obligated, which I often do.
Yeah, the obligation. Thank you. So let's just put into the circle of all the stuff, the feelings of obligation, the problems around saying no, and... I'm just going to think of what can be our positive truth, or at least our truth focus statement for the healing codes. And I'm thinking it's like I'm doing things. I'm saying yes to what brings me joy and serves my higher purpose. I'm just writing that down for myself. Me joy and serves my higher purpose. And you can play with that one. Serves my higher purpose. So that's the truth focus statement, and we'll now go into the clearing. And then after the clearing, I'll turn off the recording and we'll be going into the get it done day for whoever can be there for it. So let me see. Or if you can't, just stay on for a moment and say that you can't. So here we go. So I pray that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, destructive cellular memories, and all physical issues related to me saying yes when I really want to say no, and related to me feeling obligated to say yes, all those issues be found, opened, and healed by filling me with the life, light, and love of the great creative force. I also pray that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more. And then here we go. We're going to start with, again, having the focus statement of I'm saying yes to what brings me joy and serves my higher purpose. And we're holding the hands and focusing that in between the eyebrows. Okay. And then we're going down to the throat and focusing the energy from our hands towards the throat, seat of our expression, seat of the place of saying yes and saying no. I'm saying yes to what brings me joy and serves my higher purpose. Yes. Saying yes by saying no. Joy. Joy. Joy is the center of my decisions. And really, serving my highest purpose is my greatest joy. Side of the jaws. Hmm. then side of the forehead or the temples. And then in between the eyebrows. Okay. And then down to the throat. I was pointing it towards the heart. Maybe we should just go with that. Just focus your fingers towards the heart area. This is not the healing codes. It's just come up, so why don't we just do it? And then back to the throat. Side of the jaw. Side of the temples. And then putting the hands on top of your head, on the crown of the head, and leaving them for a few moments. And when you feel ready, open your eyes and come back into the room. And, well, thank you, everybody. And I'm going to turn off the recording, if I can find the place, and then we'll just talk about the Get It Done Day.